Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me for this, exciting series on the Epistle to the Hebrews. And I tell you, my heart is being stirred by this, and I believe yours is as well. And so I hope you will share these with your friends and family. Share them to your social network. I know that they're going to be a great blessing to them. And so yesterday, we left off at verse 3, where the writer of the Hebrews, and again, we don't know who the writer is because the writer does not name himself or herself. Some have speculated that Priscilla, the wife of Aquila that we read about, who were ministry associates of Paul, and he mentions them in more than one letter, but one in particular, Romans chapter 16. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila. Some think that it was Barnabas. Probably the majority would opt for Paul the Apostle writing this epistle. And if I were going to guess, that would be my guess. But ultimately, we don't know because the writer does not tell us. But we ended with verse 3, which speaks of Jesus being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. There's a couple of powerful things I want to say, I want to elaborate, I want to unpack in that last line of verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins, he did not need our help. he did not need some little helpers coming along. No, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down. Now, what does somebody do when they finish a job? They sit down. It's done. And for the writer to say, when he had by himself, all by himself, there is no co-redemptrix or co-redeemer. There are some in the Roman Catholic Church that are pushing to name Mary as a co-redeemer. No, my friends, there is no co-redeemer. Jesus did it all by himself. There's a passage in Isaiah, I wish I knew exactly where it was. It says something about he saw that there was no one. There was no one to look to. And it says, so his own arm brought salvation. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. He finished the work. The work is finished. And now he invites us, as the old hymn says, come and dine. To come and receive, come and sit down with him and by faith partake of his finished work. Because everything he did for you and me. He didn't go to the cross for himself. He had no need to go to the cross. He was not sinful. He went there for you. He went there for me. He went there as our representative. And by himself, he purged our sins. And he arose on the third day. And the work was completed. And now he is seated at the right hand of God. And we are invited to come and by faith sit with him and partake of his finished work of salvation that he did for you and for me. Wow. What an incredible message we have. And verse 4 says, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, the writer of the Hebrews, he's going to emphasize that Jesus is so far superior to angels. Now, this is important because the Jews held angels in very high esteem. In fact, they believed that angels were involved. According to Jewish and rabbinic tradition, angels were involved in the giving of the law at Sinai. Paul refers to this, he alludes to this in Galatians 3, verse 19. Let me read Galatians 3, 19. Paul says, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed," that is talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus, "till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." So according to Jewish and rabbinic tradition, angels mediated between Moses and God, between God and Moses. Angels mediated giving the law to Moses. And of course, we read throughout the Old Testament of the role of angels. We read about an angel appearing in Israel in response to the prayers of Hezekiah. And when they were an enemy army, I think it was Sennacherib, an Assyrian army. And he killed, I believe if I remember right, 180,000 in the night of the enemy. And so they were devastated. The ones that were left, they got up and they headed for home. They got out of there. And throughout the Old Testament, we read about an angel appearing to the mother of Samson announcing his birth. We read about angels appearing to Abraham. Angels were highly exalted and esteemed among the Jewish people. Now, we find angels very much our modern culture enamored with angels. You can go into a bookstore, look on Amazon, look up angels, you'll find all kinds of books about angels that are not written by Christians. Yeah. So this, what the writer of the Hebrews is going to say here is very relative to the church today and to our culture today, which has an unhealthy fascination with angels. And I have come across Christians who have developed unhealthy fascination with angels. And they talk about everything being an angel of healing, an angel of intercession. And so, no, my friends, do not attribute to angels the work of the Holy Spirit. We're treading on dangerous ground when we become fascinated with angels and start talking about an angel of revival and an angel of healing. My friends, that is dangerous ground. And these are the sort of things the writer of Hebrews is warning against. And so verse 4, let's read what he says. "Having become so much better than the angels," so much better, not just a little bit better, but so much better. So he's telling these Hebrew Christians that are being tempted to leave their faith in Jesus, "Hey, you think these angels are so great? He is far better, so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today have I begotten you'?" Now that is a quote from the Old Testament. And I believe that is in, if I'm not mistaken, in Psalm chapter 2. So I'm just going to go over and read that, which is obviously a messianic psalm that the writer of the Hebrews is referring to, because he's going to say, "Which of the angels did God ever say such a powerful word to?" And so I'm looking down here. And I'm looking in chapter 2. So let me just read Psalm 2, read some of the verses here. He says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take course together against the Lord and against his anointed." That's speaking of the Messiah. They they're coming against the Messiah, God's anointed one, and they're saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now, there is a powerful message right there. Listen to what God said of the Son. He never said anything like that to an angel. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And then verse 7 here is the one that the writer of Hebrews quoted. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Excuse me. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, what angel did God ever speak such incredible, superlative, awesome words to any such angel or any creature in heaven and earth? But these are words that he spoke to our Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You people are foolish to even consider rejecting him and turning away from him. No matter what kind of persecution you may be facing, you are foolish to turn away from such a one who is so much greater than those angels whom you think are so great and whom you hold in high esteem. And the same is true for the church today. My friends, don't ever, angels are real, but angels are not to be worshiped. They are not to be honored. They're not to be chased after. We have one who is so much greater than the angels. Seek the Lord. If he chooses to send an angel to appear to you, if he chooses to allow you to see one, so be it. But I can tell you, in serving the Lord over 50 years, the more I see of who Jesus really is, the less I can get excited about some puny little angel. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your Son to us, for revealing Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. Thank you for a fresh revelation of who you are, Lord, in our lives and in the church in general. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow as we continue this study of the Epistle to the Hebrews.